Sunday morning, 4/26/26. Going to look at, this is part two, Kingdom Concepts, AGF, Fishers of Men, part two. The Lord started out saying these things to me. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He tries to make us his victim. But Jesus has already given us the victory over the devil. As far as Father is concerned, we are the apple of his eye, and in him all his promises are yes and amen. In kingdom operations, this is essential. We are no longer victims, but victors. When Jesus won victory at the cross, we won with him. It does not really matter what men might think or say about us. If they blame us or shame us or accuse us, we have favor with God our Father. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are accepted and not rejected in the Beloved. Now are we the sons of God, always the head and not the tail. Father does ask us to forgive them as he has forgiven us, for you see, they are victims of the enemy just as you once were. Jesus in his temptation did not defend himself, but he trusted himself to the Father. Father was his defender. He was a lamb slain, dumb before his shears. He opened not his mouth in his own defense. Okay, I'm going to look at Philippians 1. I command pain to leave this place right now in the name of Jesus. Okay, Philippians 1:12. That means you too. I'm not talking to you. But I would ye understood, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Somebody has to pay the price, it seems, and Paul was willing to do so. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. To one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I just read what the Holy Spirit said about not defending yourselves, but we are set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, rather in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul did not engage his adversaries, but his mind was always about preaching the gospel. Whatever they say about you, it really does not matter. When you know you are loved and forgiven, it will roll off of you like water off a duck's back. In other words, we don't have to defend ourselves. The Lord's been speaking that to me for a while now. Like Paul shook off the viper. This is how we must treat offenses. Stay free from offenses. It will compromise our kingdom operations. We as fishers of men must take the same stance. Whatever they say or do, we are looking for Father to defend us. Paul said his defense was of the gospel, not of himself. We're never here to fight with men, to engage in arguments with men. You know, it's more like you preach the gospel, but if people don't like it, reject it. But don't argue with them. Jesus said that if someone doesn't want to hear, to shake off the dust of your feet and go somewhere else. Christianity stands apart in this world. It is a message of pure love and it never forces itself on anyone. Have compassion for all them, for they have all, like you, once were victimized by the devil. Take that offense and cast it away. Do not let it stay. Get it under the blood quickly. Remit sin so if they reject you, they will have another chance in the future. Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Throw all your victim cards away because there is no place for them in kingdom operations. Love never fails and love never sees a victim. Love only sees victory. By doing this, you will set everyone free in your past as well as yourself. Do you hold people captive in your memories? The devil likes to take us down memory lane, doesn't he? Love sets people free. Whatever sins you remit are remitted, and whatever sins you retain are retained. When you know the truth about this, it will set you free. I never expected you to defend yourself against anyone or the devil either. All he brings is false accusations, for he is the accuser. What Father thinks about us is the only thing that matters. If Father says okay, then it's okay. And what people think or say doesn't matter. When you get yourself free from this emotional baggage, the devil will never be able to condemn you and make you a victim again. If you know who you are and how Father sees you, doesn't matter what the devil says. He's a liar. The devil will never be able to condemn you and make you a victim again. Just focus ahead and what Father has told you to do and keep your hand to the plow. Only victims look back. Clear the shelves of your mind of those mental records. Get them under the blood. Don't let them resurface. And if they do, you need to tell the enemy, oh no, I've forgiven them. Look at some scriptures. Matthew 11. Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you're a person that's emotionally attached to things and can't let go of things, it's going to be hard for you to move forward and have the right focus. If the devil can bring things up and get you looking in the past or looking at things that have already been forgiven, already under the blood, his aim is to sidetrack you. Okay, verse 28 and 30 of the same chapter there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have to remember this mission, the Great Commission, is a mission of love. It's to bring the good news to those that are perishing. And so it's never about hate or strife or arguing or differences of opinion. That's why Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet, go somewhere else, don't engage. Do not engage. If someone doesn't want to track or whatever, then okay. You're just going about your business. Kingdom operations keep us moving forward. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back. Well, they did that to me way back then. I remember that. Okay, Paul shook the viper off. This is how we must treat offenses. Stay free from offenses. It will compromise kingdom operations. We are fishers of men, and we must take this same stance, just like the disciples had to. Whatever they say or do, we are looking for Father to defend us. Paul said his defense was of the gospel, not of himself. We're never here to fight with men, to engage in arguments with men. Jesus said that if anyone doesn't want to hear, to shake off the dust of your feet and go somewhere else. Christianity stands apart in this world. It is a message of pure love, and it never forces itself on anyone. All the other religions, as we can see, they do. Take that offense and cast it away. Do not let it stay. Get it under the blood quickly. Remit sins so if they reject you, they will have another chance in the future. I repeated that, or the Father repeated that. Father is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
You read this whole page while ago.
You know what? I sure did. Sorry. Let's turn back. Well, it's still good. Huh? Yeah. Acts 1. I think I just read that. But anyway, this is Acts 1, verse 6. You know, in the scheme of things, in going through trials and hardness and training, how is the world going to know we're disciples? By the love we have for one another. Acts 1, 6. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem. They went to tarry for the Holy Ghost, went to the upper room. Then we know what happened. They were endued with power on the day of Pentecost to take the gospel. This is what this is all about. No greater love than this is this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And it'll be a sad day, those that did not ever hear. Jesus taught for 3 years about the kingdom of God and the change of operation that was coming. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Because they were spiritually discerned. They were spiritual. They were the secrets of the kingdom, is what he was teaching. It's obvious only for those that have spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see. It was hidden to the rest. You know, it's like this. This is the way I personally believe. You don't just come to the Holy Ghost at your leisure or your pleasure. You're drawn. Or the scripture says he draws a person, and it's their time. Just like there's a time to die, time to be born, time to reap, time to sow. A person's not naturally born by chance or happenstance, no matter what they might think. But there's an allotted time for their birth. And there's a lot of time for their spiritual birth. We want to be on the cutting edge of that. Okay, Matthew 13, 16. He says here, Jesus, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. That told you, I believe the parable of the sower has as much to do with the harvest that it does any kind of getting things. I'm not saying you can't use it for that, but I'm saying the parable of the sower right here. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. What's your field? Isn't that what God has called you to do? But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay. Luke 10:23. It's Jesus saying this again. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. We must trust Father to take care of those that oppose the gospel message. It's not us, it's not for us. We take the message, but we're not to argue about the message. This is Matthew 13:41 right here. It says, The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. That's up to Father. We're to plow the field, sow the seed, but Father is the one that brings the judgment, not us. Cutting off things that offend in your life is what the Spirit is saying here today. Those things would keep us from moving forward and walking in love towards others and having a concern for people, that when you see someone, the first thing you think is, I wonder where they're going to spend eternity. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us to help them, if possible. Okay, I forgot one scripture. Just a second. Let's see. We read Matthew 13. Okay. Let's go to Acts 1 right quick. They went, well, anyway. This is Acts 1, 6 through 11. When they were therefore coming together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, the point. We spend so much time focusing on wanting to go to heaven and get out of this place, but that's not the focus. Just like they were looking up and they wanting to know when you're going to come and take out all these evil people and do all this stuff. And he's telling them, no, you go get the power. You go tarry for the power. And then you take the gospel. As far as I'm concerned, that's the number one thing for every Christian to do. Okay, Mark 9. We'll look at 42 there. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What was that saying there? We're supposed to cut off our arms and eyes? No. It's those things that so easily beset us. Things that take our attention. When are you going to fix this, Lord? When are you going to do this, Lord? He said, just get busy plowing. Cut that off. Let me handle it. How many times has the Lord said that? Cutting off things that offend in your life is what the Spirit is saying here today. In other words, you spend so much time, I do too, everyone seems to, fixing themselves. Lord, take this away. When are you going to do this, Lord? When are you going to do that, Lord? Instead of what you want me to do for you today, Lord. We know he's not talking literally, but he's talking about emotional baggage. Okay, one more scripture on this. James chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. I know some of us today, and I'm one of those, that feels like, yeah, I've had lots of things cut off. I wonder how I really look. Anyway, the Lord wants us moving forward, free from offense, and taking his message and not being concerned about ourselves. I know that's not easy to do when you're in pain, but I'm telling you, he wants us to put our hand to the plow and not look back.